Two words that have been percolating, and I wrote them down just before class because I don't rely on memory so much, and they still seem relevant. One of them is reception, and the other is transmission. And in many ways, we are all receivers and transmitters, mostly unconsciously, mostly imperfectly. We act often with closed minds, closed hearts, no access to our intuitive self. Our sexual chakra tends to be always in the pleasure zone, as opposed to the rebirth zone. We are often, as human beings, incomplete, misaligned, and live lives scattershot. Whatever happens, and you react to all of that according to whatever you learned in your early years, reinforced by what you learned in your later years. And so people are somewhat like pinballs going through the game. Very little awareness, very little control, a lot of hope and a lot of annoyance, all filtering through the system. And it's very, it's a hard ride for many people. The experience for me, the first glimmer of awakening to something more going on, of course, as you remember in the story, was LSD back in the 60s. Something I'm still profoundly grateful for. Then the search for a teacher to tell me what it was I had witnessed, and then meeting Rudy, who told me, basically. He didn't give me answers in the traditional sense. He really, he mostly started opening the door to reception. He allowed me to receive a transmission through him. Someone could have thought it was from him, but it was through him to the deepest parts of my psyche. It has been a transmission that has been ongoing, even though he's no longer here, for well over 50 years, half a century, and it makes an impact. And somewhere along the way, back in the 1970s, I was allowed to become, in an official kind of sense, as a teacher, a transmitter of this thing that had been coming into me for however many years. Of course, there's been a huge journey over the last half century, and so much to say and so little to say, but the experience of being a receiver starts in the womb, in a way, perhaps before, certainly gets communicated the moment you're born. And I've talked about this, but the moment someone hugs you, you start to receive what we experience mostly, if we're lucky, as maternal, paternal love. And boy, oh boy, does that impact. That experience is so memorable that in a way we spend the rest of our life trying to get more of it. We don't always know how to do that. We don't always know how to be the proper kind of receiver. A lot of other things start to come into the picture. But finding love, finding the embrace, the comfort, the care that comes from being loved is a source of receiving that is driving most of our lives. In truth, the experience that we get from mother love, if you will, comes from even a deeper source. Hard to believe that something unknowable, indescribable, invisible, beyond comprehension, is actually filtering through mother energy and coming into us. But because we're so physical and so material and so devoted to this very low rung of the ladder of existence, we only want it through material form, meaning from other people. And we want it on our terms. So when the mother starts telling you, no, you can't have that cookie, you can't have six cookies, transmission is not lost, but it's got to be found in a new way. You know, or the receiving, let's say, has to be found in a new way. When life starts coming at you differently and you start to have, you know, desires in the world for love, love and pleasure get a little bit confused. So in a way, the sixth cookie is your version of being loved, and it isn't really a healthy one, but it comes. When you start to see human beings that you want to possess on some level, the pleasure of that and the idea of love get intertwined in a way, and they start to mingle and come into you. And for a while, you can have that, and you are a receiver of love, and you're a receiver of care. And once you have that kind of experience of other loving you, that's no longer your mother, but someone out in the world or others, there's a feeling of, ah. Now, there's a problem with that, and that the person who loves you or the people who love you would like to have love come back. And that's, in a sense, the transmission of love, your ability to give it, and then to find a kind of dance between loving and being loved, giving and taking, caring and receiving care. All of those qualities of existence are so vital to our lives, and they're all on the lowest rung of the ladder. There are horizontal experiences of love and receiving and giving love and transmitting and all of that from the human perspective. What Rudy introduced me to, what LSD introduced me to, what meditation introduced me to is the vertical. This level, we're all living at every day. The vertical, which Rudy used to talk about, is the spiritual practice. It's an effort. It goes deep and it goes high. And you can sit with Rudy's practice, which is a foundational, simple, brilliant thing, which is going into your core, which is mostly in Rudy's terms, you're under your heart, and asking for help to, in his terms, surrender, meaning to receive, to let go and receive a higher energy, something that is vertical, coming into your system and sitting there. And then what starts to happen, which is part of the practice and part of the work, is as you surrender and let go and stop trying to hoard that and trying to manipulate it and use it and think that it's yours and let just open and open and open, you become a receiver of enormous energy. It comes from on high, it goes very deep into the psyche, and then it expands horizontally into the world and to the people you know and the people around you, the mandala of people who are right in your circle. And then it goes further to people you don't know, to the people on the street, the people you meet casually, the people sitting in your class, the people sitting in the auditorium with you. whatever it is, this deepening energy, this horizontal deepening and rising energy, expands horizontally into places you can't even begin to imagine and are not even needing to or supposed to imagine. Your job, if you will, is as a receiver, open to the width, the depth, the height, the fulfilling element of energy, of transmission of something greater, which feels like truly the hug your mother gave you the moment you came out of that womb. That is what it feels like. You don't have to ask, what does higher energy feel like? It's this. It's so beautiful. And it goes so deep. And it rises up so high that you are totally incapable in a mental way, even an emotional way, of following it. But you can become this open vessel, this transmitting tower of whatever it is sitting in the middle of a big field that's just receiving and projecting, transmitting energy. You can be that. In some ways, being in this class, I will say you've been singled out for that. Why? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here. I have no idea. Except I know that I am here to transmit and receive. The receiving is becoming daily so overwhelmingly, unspeakably beautiful and vast that I don't even know what to say about it on any level. And I don't even know that it's a permanent anything. I just know it is beyond, beyond. And I have no choice but to share it in every possible way that I can. And I'll tell you why the universe is using me to do that. Because it speaks to me, and I have to say to you as well. And it does this thing, which I talked about last week and Rudy talked about half a century ago. If it's in front of you, it's yours. So Rudy said, if something appears like something garbage on the ground and there's a wastebasket and a voice in you says, pick it up, and you put it in the basket, if you listen to that voice and you do it, the higher power, if you want to call it that, the larger energy goes, this person is listening. If you walk around your house and something is out of order and you just go, put it back in order, the universe goes, okay, we got this person's attention. It will then tell you other things. It becomes very directive. Higher energy, deeper energy, is a communication energy from something beyond our understanding, and it directs you through your life, and it sort of tells you, what do you do today at this moment? And what I have discovered, what I talked about last week, which I have found to be very meaningful, is not only if it's in front of you, it's yours, the idea that it's if it's in front of you, it is God itself. It is the Holy of Holies right now sitting in front of you. Well, right now it looks like me. Trust me, that won't last, because if you look to your right or your left, it looks like that. It looks like whatever is in front of you, whatever is there, and it does not go away. Life is that very real, absolute interaction with the most powerful and divine reality you can imagine. This is not a game. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. It's not like, oh God, here he goes again. It is absolute and real. And if you can engage the universe, God itself, moment to moment to moment, it will engage you. So if you become a receptor of this unbelievably magical, remarkable reality that surrounds you, and I try again to get to the specifics, like the chair you're sitting on and the carpet on the floor, or the wood or the wall around you or the trees and the sky, but you know, you can just keep going out and out. It's all part of the same configuration, and it is extraordinarily, unbelievably mystical, magical reality, also completely mundane. completely mundane. It's everything simultaneously. Get the mind out of the way, because you cannot ever, ever grasp this as a knowable thing. All you can do is go, oh. At least that's all I can do. Maybe you can do more, but that's what I do. And then it asks me over and over again to represent it on some level as a transmitter to other people, mostly in many ways to Blanche, you know, who has needs and abilities to receive that are extraordinary, and is also a transmitter back to me. And it's an exquisite dance that goes on. My children, friends, all of you who are so unbelievably potent in my life because you show up. You show up, you know, not everybody shows up in life. Showing up to the idea of you are in the face of, I can go further saying you are one with the divine that is established and is manifesting moment to moment around you. Not a lot of people want to hear that or know what to do with that. And if you're trying to process it even now with your mind, you're just going to get lost in that because it's too unknowable, except it is completely experiential, completely moment to moment. And I don't cut out a single billionth of a second experiential. It is so dynamic, so real. You are so in the presence of God at every second of your life. And if you know that, you will become a receiver and a transmitter of that energy. And it will use you really well. But it's going to check you out. Do you pick up that piece of paper and put it in the garbage? Do you listen to what it tells you to do? If you go, well, I'm not really sure if that's what I mean. And it goes, never mind. And it just doesn't use you. It's not waiting for you to argue. It just goes, fine, go do your thing. You know, the universe loves you doing whatever you want to do, but it uses you when you say, I am available. Thy will be done. Use me. Take me on. Do it. And I will tell you, when you are used in that way, that feeling of being loved and embraced and cared about is beyond anything you've ever seen. But in the same way that your mom would often put you in the crib by yourself, and I've talked about this before, but it's really important, and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Where's the hug? Where's the love? Where's the beauty? I'm all by myself. I can't. Your mother does that for a lot of reasons. One is you cannot be hugged all day long. Two, you have to find your own way in all of this. So lying down and being put into the crib with no sense of being loved at certain times is actually a teaching. It's hard teaching because you feel abandoned and lost and confused. And all you can do at that point is trust the journey. Trust that even in the absence, you're lying in the crib and you're looking at the ceiling and you don't understand what you're looking at or what's going on. Trust that someone's going to come, pick you up, and hug you again. And I have to tell you, it will go on like that through your whole life, although it may not be your mother. You will experience this love. And all I can say, it's inexplicable, but it feels like mom is there. It is so unbelievably reassuring. Even when it goes away, you start to develop this awareness that even in absence, there's presence. Even in it not being there, you are cared for all the time. And it can get hard, and they do test you. They do test you. They, Rudy, you know, used to always pluralize this universe, God form. And I often feel that as well. But it's singular and it's plural and it is multidimensional. And, you know, I cannot tell you what a low rung of the ladder we tend to live on in the Jacob's ladder sense. You know, there are thousands of rungs and most of us live on rung one or two. But this thing just goes up and up. And as you start to go up, you just have to bow down more and more because there's no brain connection to it. It's like just wide-eyed awareness. And that is who we are. And each one of us right now has the opportunity to become a vessel, vehicle, hose, if you will, for spreading this simple awareness, this generosity of spirit with everything and everyone around us. And if we show up to do that, and the universe goes, okay, they're there, more and more will come. Not for you, it has nothing to do with you. And if you think this is about you and your comfort and your specialness and all that, no, they go, nope, nope. It's about just everything and everyone, if you will, as a kind of equality, a kind of singularity. It wants to hug itself on every possible level. And if you become the vessel of that love for everything and everyone around you, you will not believe the fulfillment, the sense of completion that it brings you, moment to moment, day by day. Which brings me into the personal. It's another weird week. I know I always do this. I kind of go back to the personal. Stuff happens. Bizarre stuff happens. I may have mentioned the other day that I was repairing all my Breuer chairs that were falling apart, and I'm not a repair person at all. But I figured they've arrived, the bottoms of things, I can screw them in, I can think I could do it. And I did. It was beautiful. These chairs have been with us for 40 years. The day I finished putting them together and redoing my life in a level that I don't normally do, I got a phone call from a person who told me that the person who gave us those chairs just died. And I went, wow. I don't understand those kinds of connections, but they happen. The list goes on and on. I mean, these things are going on in my life that are so probably part of being 80 years old, people having strokes who I care about dramatically, people having all these issues. But also what happened this week is I found out that no publisher wants to publish my book, which was really interesting to me, at least none of the major publishers. And I have to tell you, the discomfort of that lasted maybe 1/1,000,000,000th of a second, like gone. I felt in a way, they said, oh, they all think your life is really interesting and you have a wonderful journey, but they don't know who the book is for. They don't know who the audience is. I don't know who it is either, and I don't even care because I can just put the book on the shelf and my grandchildren can read it when they're grown up. And the editor of the book has actually offered to publish it and help me self-publish it. And I may in the end do that. But what's so incredible to me was the non-reaction, the non-sense of what's wrong with me and why aren't I, whatever it is that one goes through, just wasn't there. What was there was the universe. And it went, who cares? It's all so big and it's all so fleeting. And trust me, we are not the center of existence. We pass through this thing with such simple ease in a way, if we let ourselves be easy. Whether you leave a mark or don't leave a mark, whatever, it doesn't matter. The only thing you need to do is be there in the moment. Right after all that happened, I got a call from or email from my son, Ari, who got married. He married his girlfriend. And they did it in a civil ceremony very quickly because of passport and issues of that nature. And the joy of that was, in a sense, an amplification of the joy I am being allowed to feel all the time. It's like, thank you. Just thank you. I'm not trying to be too specific because I guess I am, but what I'm trying to get at is that the material world and the vastness of the immaterial, unmanifested reality are all weaving together in the most extraordinary ways with ups and downs, and you can react to them in any way you want. You can take a rejection and become miserable for 30 years. I was at the art gallery yesterday. Interestingly enough, I sold my very first photograph. And all these years of making them. And someone sold it before I was there. And I went in to replace it. And the person who was supposed to be sitting in the gallery failed to show up. So I had to sit there. And somebody walked in the gallery who was a failed artist and started talking for like 40 minutes about his failures. And I part of me went, you know, why me? Why do I have to listen to this really crazy, almost tearful recitation of disappointment? And then I realized, if it's in front of you, it's God. And I listened with the most open heart I could find. And I was as available to this human being who showed up as I humanly could be. Do I ask the how or the why, or, you know, why me, God? No. I just go, and I try to be loving and compassionate and open, giving, almost like, if you will, giving him the hug his mother gave him the minute he came out of the womb. That's what I did. That's what we can do. There's nothing special about it. We can all do that. It ain't a big deal. Just show up, transmit this kindness, this goodness, this availability to people if they arrive. If they're not there and you're sitting around bored to death, get on the phone and call someone and just say hi. Oh, how are you? Are you okay? I really care about you. Not hard. If you have no one to do that with, this week, Blanche and I went out and we bought all these really beautiful hanging plants for the front porch, and they were so beautiful, I realized, why don't we put them on the back porch? And we went out and bought all these new ones. And so now they all have to be watered. So I had, you know, I may have said this last week, I don't remember, but I went out and bought all hoses for front porch and downstairs and try to make them all so I could water these things. And now I've discovered the joy, and this is not my life. Blanche always did this. I am loving watering the plants, and they are loving being watered. I can water them and I can spray them. And there is a sense of nurturing. And for an old guy, having plants to water is like amazing. And seeing them when I walk into the house and walk into the back, I just go, oh my God, this is beauty created in my space by the universe that I have to take care of. My job. They're there for me. They bring me joy. I give them love. Period. That's how it works. The pond guy came by yesterday and dropped, I think, 40 goldfish into my pond, and all of these koi fish, and then these carp. And I can't, there, it was like life filling this space. And I just went, I am a witness to something, and we are all witnesses. Whatever the thing may be, whatever's in front of you, trust me, it is there for a reason. The universe has worked for hundreds of billions of years to make this simple, absurd moment in front of you real and meaningful. Receive it. Open to it. Do the work. Open your heart. Open your gut. Open your mind. Open your belly. Let this thing come into you and realize it's not by chance. It's infinite time and space working for itself to service it through you. Give it back whatever love, embrace, hug, or whatever it is you're capable of doing. And if you're not capable, ask for help. Ask for help. And I can only tell you, because that's what I've been doing for a long time, it arrives. It absolutely arrives. You will be the beneficiary of the experience of loving others. It is exquisite. It is beautiful. It is joyous. And it has its downsides. Again, I don't know if I should give a talk on this, and I'll just say it quickly. Yes, there's shit out there. There's stuff we don't like. The world can be really difficult and problematic and may become more and more. Who knows what it will become? But I will tell you, it will never be other than this exquisite manifestation. And when you don't like it, when you don't know how to deal with it, when it's painful and unpleasant and problematic, ask for help. Ask for help. That's all I can tell you. You know, I'm getting to this point of, you know, we're daily, different pains every day are coming on the horizon. And, you know, it's not like I can go, why me, God? I'm getting old. But I have to say, I am learning to see Rudy's statement, pain is God's love. I don't want to present that too big a way because it's too debatable in terms of mind and thought. But I will tell you experientially, if you can go into some of that stuff and just sit with it, open to it, embrace it, relax, expand, for that moment, I'm not saying it's going to last forever, that moment, you can turn it around. Sometimes. And when you do, wow. Wow. Sometimes you can't. Don't try to judge yourself how good it is, how good you are, how special you are. It's not about that. It's just you have a capacity inside to open to what is, period. And if you do the work, that's what it is, opening to what is in front of you or inside you or rising in your mind or knocking on your door. Whatever it is, you can go, thy will be done. Ask for help to surrender, open, receive, and then transmit this love, this comforting, this caring, this ability to hear, to respond with compassion and kindness to another being, and fill the world with that. Whether or not you touch everybody in the world, good luck. If you touch another person, amazing, amazing. And I also feel, there's this thing that's happening for me of being asked to love the world. It's really interesting because it's not about anybody. It's just, I'm being told, put it out there. And it's the ocean. It's the ocean feeling waves of warmth coming from somewhere. It's really beautiful. We can do that. So there's never a time not to work. There's never a time not to be grateful. There's never a time not to go, you know, why me? There's only this. There's only this. If it's in front of you, you are in a holy space. I hope you can feel that. I will repeat this when and where I can. If if you start getting tired of hearing it from me, I totally understand. If you sign off, I'll still love you. You know, if you decide to go your own way, God bless. There's no way but one way. And I know that there's a repetitive element to this, but trust me, the universe is highly repetitive. It's all about basically one thing. This. And that's my talk.